Second Earth Changes TV Radio Hour. Mitch Batras here. Welcome on this Tuesday night. This is August the 19th, a few days post blackout. And, of course, quite a bit of news. I'm going to race through this so we can get to my guest, Ian Lundgold, who is an expert on the Mayan calendar. And I'm fascinated and excited to get to him because not only are we going to speak about the Mayan calendar, but more on a personal level on how it affects you and me emotionally. Of course, we're going to speak a little bit about prophecy and how it's going to affect the Earth. Of course, Earth changes. But as importantly, perhaps even more importantly, is how it affects you and me emotionally. So here we go. Powerful geo. This is today. This just came out of several hours ago, late morning. Powerful geomagnetic storm sent out by the sun. Surprise, surprise, right? Strong geomagnetic storm that rated a G4, the second highest rating on the NOAA Space Weather Scales, was reported today at 5 a.m. Eastern Time. Out of Boulder, Colorado. These storms are disturbances in the geomagnetic field caused by gusts in solar wind that blows by Earth. Storms of this magnitude can affect power systems and satellite operations. Oh my goodness, what a surprise. Such storms can also interfere with high-frequency radio communications. During such storms, the aurora, or northern lights, has been seen at lower elevations coming down into Illinois and Oregon. NOAA forecasters report that this storm, caused by an increase in the solar wind speed combined with an associated interplanetary Now get this, folks, I'm going to repeat this one. The purpose for this G4 geomagnetic storm, according to NOAA, increase of solar wind speed combined with an associated interplanetary magnet field opposite that of Earth's. Does Mars ring a bell? I'm going to repeat that because I have not seen it written this way before. Combined with an associated interplanetary magnetic field opposite that of Earth's. Maybe they're talking about when magnetic fields collide, and they're simply talking about when the charged particles that are emitted from the sun collide with Earth's magnetic field. That's what they're calling an interplanetary magnetic field, but it says opposite that of Earth's. Now, maybe they just mean an opposing magnetic field, but with Mars around the corner, of course, Mars does have its own magnetic field. We've seen reports about that. But most scientists, most astrophysicists and astronomers will certainly tell you that even with Mars being this close and with associated planetary alignments, arguably, that it does not have that much of a significance, but there are many who would argue that to the end. So I'm going to put that in my gray box. Okay, hurrying on. NASA Hubble Space Telescope high-resolution images of Mars online beginning August 27th. NASA's Hubble Space Telescope will make observations of the planet Mars on August 26th, 27th, when Earth and Mars will be closer together than they have been in the last 60,000 years. As soon as Hubble's high-resolution images of the red planet are received at the Space Telescope Science Institute and are digitally processed by the Mars Observing Team, Mailer, they will be released to the public and news media via the Internet. Well, I would say after being monitored, let's say. But anyway, this is going to be a pretty neat thing. I have no idea how much they'll disclose. I'm going to be in touch with as many amateur astronomers as possible, folks, because you can't hide this. So sure, you can manipulate the Hubble telescope. It's true. And NASA's the big boy on the block, and they have the big toys. That's true. And yes, they can see at a much better resolution than anybody on that's ground-based. However, we've got anywhere between 20 and 100,000 amateur astronomers around the world, and those are the people that I'm going to be in touch with, and I will be reporting to you. Now, get this. Vatican experienced blackout yesterday. Did you hear about that? No, you didn't, did you? The Vatican, this comes from the agency EFE paper in Italy. Quote, unknown event leaves Basilica of the Vatican without light. The Basilica of St. Peter in the city of the Vatican suffered yesterday, Sunday, and part of Monday, a blackout, and its facade presented an uncommon image to the night. And it is for still unknown reasons. A second AP report just came out today about the Vatican. There was something missing from Rome's skyline last night. The lights atop St. Peter's Basilica went out, and that left tourists wondering if Vatican City had suffered a power outage. Utility company officials said today that a computer problem at the Vatican was the culprit. A computer problem. Could be. And now, a related story. Power blackout in Georgia, in Russia. All of Georgia was without power today, today meaning yesterday, and officials in the impoverished former Soviet Republic were struggling to determine the cause of the blackout. Well, gee, all these blackouts and nobody knows what's going on. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? To determine, the Soviet Republic were struggling to determine the cause. It almost sounds like a mantra, doesn't it, folks? Now, to shift gears and go into a couple of disturbing stories. This one is about Dr. David Kelly from Britain. Dr. David Kelly, the top British microbiologist and whistleblower, had close links to the dark world of secret intelligence. Dr. Kelly was not employed by M15 or M16 or any other intelligence service, but he enjoyed a unique access to all the world's top spy agencies. In Britain, France, Germany, North America, Japan, Australia, they all consulted him. The clash between the BBC and Tony Blair and his government was that between navel-gazing titans, which went to the heart of fundamental issue, and that was, had Britain and the United States gone to war against Iraq on false pretense? Well, folks, I can tell you, I saw a bit yesterday on a BBC news broadcast, just yesterday, live, BBC news broadcast, and I'll tell you what, the you-know-what is about to hit the fan. The bottom line is lies, lies, lies. There is no connection between Iraq and Al-Qaeda. There are no weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. It's all a lie. This is nothing more than a Bubba Bush agenda. Now, if that's not alarming enough, here is this one. And I've already received some hate mail over this, and I can understand your angst. But what if I didn't report this? I'm going to read through this very quickly because I'm anxious to get to my guests again. Now listen up, Ian. Ian Lungo's on the other line listening to this monologue, and I want him to listen because this is in part what we're going to be talking about, and that is disclosure, whether you like it or not. Are American troops killed in Iraq being hidden? The brother of Reuters cameraman, Mazin Dana, said he was deliberately murdered for discovering mass graves of U.S. troops killed in Iraq, resistant attacks. The U.S. troops killed my brother in cold blood, Dana told the newspaper. in exclusive statements, the U.S. occupation troops shot dead my brother on purpose, although he was wearing his press badge, which was also emblazoned on the car he was driving. On Sunday, August 17th, U.S. troops shot dead the award-winning Reuters cameraman while he was filming near the U.S.-run Abu Ghraib prison in Baghdad. His last pictures show a U.S. tank driving towards him outside the prison walls. Several shots rang out from the tank, and the cameraman fell dead. Mazan told the reporter by phone a few days ago, or Mazan told his brother, Dana, by phone a few days ago, quote, his death that he discovered a mass grave dug by U.S. troops to conceal bodies of their fellow comrades killed in Iraq. He also told me that he found U.S. troops covered in plastic bags in remote desert areas he filmed while he was filming them for a TV program. Folks, that is up on the website. The full article is there. Extremely disturbing. Perhaps before Bubba Bush regime, I would have just kind of laughed at that and then brushed it off as sensationalism or propaganda. But since we're lied to every freaking week by our own government, you know, Bubba himself, now all of a sudden, this sounds plausible. Is this a scary world we live in? Ian Lundgold. Ian Lundgold is a leading researcher of the Mayan calendar and of the Maya, the Maya culture and their calendar systems. He is also a contributing author, artist, speaker, and the developer of the Mayan calendar conversion codex. Mayan, good to have you on again.
Hello.
Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me back.
I hate to bring you on such a down note, if you want to call it a down note, but my gosh, I have a feeling we're going to be hearing or seeing or experiencing more of this. What are your thoughts just with the monologue alone?
Well, in the previous shows, we've been talking about the Mayan calendar and its general predictions of what kind of consciousness we're going to be encountering. Now, I haven't had the rosiest message to lay out to people. What we have to go through is seeing the actual situation that consciousness exists in. That's what we're, the period of the Mayan calendar that we're in is facing the raw truth.
Oh my gosh! Now, Ian, there we have some new listeners who may have not heard you on our last two or three shows.
Okay.
So, if we could, let's just build a brief foundation, perhaps picking up where we left off in our last interview of this period we are in. Perhaps you could, if this works smoothly for you, utilize the Mayan calendar and maybe explain the period that we're in.
Okay.
Of why we might see this type of thing coming forward.
Well, I'll break through this as quickly as I can.
All right.
There's many things we have to discuss about our immediate future.
Absolutely.
But the Mayan calendar actually shows the schedule of the evolution of consciousness over the last 16.4 billion years. And the Mayan calendar is built in 9 different levels of consciousness development. Each one of those 9 levels is divided equally into 13 sections. So on each level of creation, there are 7 periods of light and 6 periods of darkness that make up a whole cycle of creation. This, we're fairly familiar with that mythology from our own Christian Bible. 7
yes.
Days to creation. The Babylonians had it, and the Mesopotamians had it much straighter. They actually wrote on clay tablets that there are 7 days and 6 nights to each level of creation. That was the most sacred writings. And the Maya were people who picked up on this information one way or another centuries later. They too understood that there were 7 days and six nights to each level of creation, but they went much further with developing an understanding of which, of what the intent of each one of those sections were. These patterns repeat all 13 stages in each level. Each level, though, proceeds at 20 times faster than the level before it.
Okay, folks, you know, I know this is hard to follow. It always is. One way that I've learned to understand the Mayan calendar is by two ways. One is sometimes I just let in every fifth word or so and kind of scoot along that way, because I usually get so bogged down wanting to understand each letter. Another way is this show is being recorded, and we're going to have it free on our front page website, and Ian, I'll be passing this along to Ian, he'll have it on his site as well, and you can listen to it as many times as you need to understand it. So Ian, let's go ahead and jump ahead.
Yes.
just a bit.
Now, this is the basic structure of this calendar, is a repeating pattern of intentions in creation that occur closer and closer and closer together each time. We've gone up, and now we're in the eighth level of the calendar. There are nine levels altogether. We are in the eighth repeat of this pattern. And like I said, there are 7 days and six nights to each pattern. And right now, we're sitting in the third day of this particular run-through. The third day is all about, in every cycle previous to this one, and including this one, is the truth coming forward, unmitigated, unstoppable, the truth of your actual situation.
Okay, now, let me highlight that for myself and perhaps some of our listeners. And I can say this, folks, because I speak to Ian as often as I can. What he's saying is that things that we may have been able to hide before, when we've been able to be disingenuous, when we've been able to play politics, when we've been able to play the game, when we've been able to play the corporate structure, company man routine, those days are coming to an end. That even if we want to try and hide, that the universe may not let us. Now, Ian, pick it up from there.
You're absolutely right, Mitch. That's exactly what it comes down to on a personal basis, is that every person is going to be faced with their own truth. But first, we're being faced with the truth of the larger world around us. The truth is that we are not in control of our own destinies.
I know, boy, I can see people standing straight up with that statement.
The truth is that most people in America are wage slaves. They are slaves indentured to corporate entities, and there is no freedom there. But that is the truth, and people are coming up hard against it everywhere.
Yes. Yes, yes, I believe we are. We're basically waking up. Now, Ian, does this tie in to what the Mayan calendar, Mayan prophecy says about our intuition increasing, our intuitive nature?
Yes, but if you look at human nature, humans have only adapted or changed when it was absolutely necessary.
That's true. That's true.
We have not ever, up until this point, we haven't really taken a proactive step in our own evolution. We've been prodded and pried and steamrollered into changing. There have been mass eliminations of what didn't work, and what did work flourished and carried us all forward.
Yes.
This has all been pretty much, up until this point, unconscious. It has not been embraced by our consciousness. Not until this schedule was discovered did we actually have the opportunity to embrace that happening.
How was it discovered?
Well, actually, it was a combination of my, first, I was doing my own research on the Mayan calendar through artwork and through an intuitive, and through shamanism and studying with the shamans. And I met another gentleman by the name of Dr. Carl Johan Kalaman, who was a microbiologist, and he'd been studying the Mayan calendar with scientific methods. And he came up with some amazing scientific facts that can be proven all down the line that prove the schedule of the unfoldment of the evolution of consciousness. So I took what I had already studied and understood and blended it, married it to his factual findings. And now we're presenting this information, he in Europe and Asia and myself in the Americas.
Fascinating. Now, tell us what it looks like. You know, people like to be able to visualize, if you will, have a good understanding. We like to personalize it. How is what you've just outlined, what might it look like in an individual's life? Just take John and Jane Doe, typical Americans going through their day. What would they likely notice?
That more and more is possible, and that less and less is certain.
Now, I think there may be one little piece that's missing, and correct me if I'm wrong, this is just a thought, Ian, and that is that I remember you mentioning that the power mongers, the control freaks, those who've been manipulating this whole time, this is their last gasp, because they know they're losing their power, and in their last gasp, they're fighting like hell. Now, is it possible we're in that little period right now that for some of us it may not seem that we're empowered yet, or that we're really going anywhere? And matter of fact, some of us feel disempowered, and that we're running around powerless with these wackos running the country.
Actually, being powerless is really good. It's the power consciousness which is causing all the problem. And all of your identification or wish list for the power game that's causing you all your personal angst. If you don't have any personal power, you don't have anything to lose. And that's what people are afraid of.
That is a typical human response. We're afraid of losing something we have or not getting something we want.
Let them have all the power. Let them take it. They're going to take it anyway. Let them have their orgy of lust and greed. They're going to do it anyway.
Ian, something
don't
just...
you get all involved in it. Listen, let me back up a little bit.
Okay.
And we'll cover the background of what's actually going on here on a bigger, bigger scale, and I think that everybody will be able to relate more their personal situation when they see the bigger scheme. These cycles of consciousness, they produce a certain type of survival tool or mechanism. There were many that preceded the current cycles, but I'm going to go over the national cycle. And it started in 3115 BC, and that was the inception of the idea of right and wrong, of laws and punishment. Before that, there was not any right or wrong. There were consequences, to be sure, but the evil and good idea, that dichotomy, wasn't part of the cultural consciousness. But from 3115 BC forward, we have developed more and more the concept of law. Up until the very last stage of that consciousness cycle, which started 397 years ago, about 1617, it was during that period of time that we started discovering the laws of science and started to actually manipulate the environment with these laws. And then in 1755, we started the very next cycle, which is a cycle of consciousness called the planetary consciousness. It developed that toward its end in 1992. It was actually developed. develop the planetary consciousness. But on the way, it has been developing a structure of power. Now, first we had law, which developed into the laws of science and physics, and then we applied those laws to produce more and more power available for all of consciousness. Now, creation doesn't have any judgment on good or bad. That's something which is manufactured by us. Consciousness doesn't see power used one way as good or bad. So, just the availability of power is produced by creation during this whole last 250 some odd years. Now we're at a stage where everyone has tremendous power. Everybody out there has, or most people out there have a car. And in that car, you've got 150 to 250 horses. Back in 1755, that would make you a very, very powerful person. So, you know, all of us have benefited greatly from the powers that have been generated. And we should not disavow that.
And just to bring it more current, would you say that the latest invention, I guess you could say, is, of course, the computer and the power of knowledge and the power of connection through the Internet?
Absolutely. That is all power basically boils down to what you know. And we have the capacity to know anything we want. Never before in any part of history has this occurred. So we're all really immersed in this tremendous power. Some people seem to be abusing theirs and taking more than their share. But we're all immersed in this tremendous power surge. We have it at our disposal. So, what has happened is that we're now, in 1992, we ended the last stage of this power game. And it's the fruit of the power game. It's like when it gets all plump and it's just hanging off the vine, you know? That's where we are right now, in the power game. And basically, the people who are at the head of the train here know that they have evolved past law. They are far above the concept of law, or good or evil. These folks, President Bush and company, are immune to any law, and they know it.
That's
true. They have evolved past it.
Which we're obviously seeing it play out here. They're doing as they wish. There is no community consciousness. There is no participation. It is a monarchy.
Exactly. Now, creation doesn't care one way or the other, because creation has more tricks up its sleeve. In 1999, we started a new consciousness cycle, a brand new one. And this consciousness is all about ethics. And ethics is overrunning power right now everywhere. For instance, we just had a blackout, didn't we?
Yes.
We had a huge call on the National Guard and the police everywhere to prevent looting, didn't we?
Yes.
What a surprise.
There was none. There was no looting.
The consciousness is ethical. And they took it in stride.
Man.
Big surprise to these power guys, because they were plotting on being able to clamp down really hard on everybody. And it just didn't happen. Remember, they are in their prime. These power guys, all of them, all of the people who are sucking on this power train, are in their glory. They're making more money than anybody ever has, faster than any time in any part of history.
So true.
These guys are rotting on the vine.
So true.
They have gotten so ripe. You understand?
Absolutely.
They're rotting from the inside out, and we're witnessing it. Now, these guys at the head of the train conceive themselves to be above the law. They have evolved past any law or any consequence. But now there is ethics, which is coming across them. They have no concept of the word ethics. They believe ethics is morals, like it.
Now that's what I was going to ask you, and I imagine there's going to be quite a few in the audience that would be confused about this. We have righteousness, we have religious orientation, which tells us what some people may conceive as being ethical. So, Ian, if you could give us an understanding what the difference would be between morals and ethics.
I can do it real simple.
All right.
Morals are a blanket solution to spontaneous situations. Ethics is spontaneous solutions to spontaneous situations. Another way to say it is, ethics is something which shines out from yourself into the world. Morals are something that people drape over you to classify you and to hold you to a certain line.
Yes. Tell me if this is a good parallel, Ian. As in the difference between religion and spirituality. Religion is classified as a particular dogma, if you will, or a particular group of rules or communitive understandings, where spiritual would supersede all of that in having the true essence of a connection with a higher source.
Yes. Morals are restrictive and limiting.
Yes.
Ethics are inclusive.
Yes. Gotcha. Now, I've been dying to ask this question. For the last 20 minutes, we've been talking about power, related to human evolution, if you will, and greed and so forth.
Right.
Now, let me ask you, is this simply, what would I call it? Let's just call it playing with words. I guess I could say a metaphor, that we just had this power outage. Could that be symbolic of those that are in power today of coming to a place of having their own personal outage?
Well, I'll tell you, the third day is all about the truth coming forward. The third day of every one of the cycles. That's what we're in right now. And the third night, which is coming up starting December 9th of this year, December 9th, we start into the third night. That is when the truth becomes applied. The days are always moments of enlightenment or opening or dawnings, and the nights aren't necessarily bad, but that is when the rubber hits the road.
Yes.
Okay?
December.
What's happening right now is the truth is being established, the absolute truth of our situation. And the absolute truth of our situation in this solar system is that there is only one ruler. You know, governments are established really only for one thing. That's to fix stuff. The government is supposed to fix your road and put your mailbox back up and, you know, keep the taxes going for this and that, you know? That's what a government's supposed to fix, whatever it is. And this started way back with the kings.
Yes.
You know, hey, the enemy is coming over the hill. King, do something about that. And that was the government. Went out and fixed things. And our governments are, we expect our governments to fix things. Well, now, our government leaders are far above the law. They know it. We know it. But we still expect them to fix things.
Yes.
And everyone ilk would find that intolerable.
Yes.
And so, the real truth of what's going on Earth and in this solar system is the last thing that will pass these people's mouths. The truth is, there's only one ruler on this planet or in this solar system, and that is the sun himself.
Oh boy, folks, did you hear that? Ian, say that again.
There is only one ruler in this solar system. There is only one governor in this solar system, and that is the sun itself. and the government, no matter who they think they are completely impotent against this.
Wow.
They are superfluous. And that's the truth they're going to have to face, and all of us as well.
Oh, geez. You know what, Ian? Stand by for just a moment. Something just went on with the equipment here, and it looks like I dropped the listeners. We'll move on, because all of this is being recorded, and actually that's a good thing, because we in fact have a larger audience through the playing of the recording. So all is well, and I'll send out a message for all those that were tuned in tonight. It'll take about 5 minutes for them all to come back on.
Now, you understand how upsetting this is to the government?
Yes.
Are you getting this?
I'm getting it.
Thank you, folks. And it doesn't matter who tries to obstruct this truth. It doesn't matter. It's going to happen to everyone anyway.
Yes.
Right on schedule.
Yes.
And the fact is, folks, if what you just experienced, what you 50 million experienced in New York City, was a gentle nudge, a gentle wake-up call. It was a kiss on your forehead, dudes.
Yes.
Wake up.
Yes. Ian, do you expect, now I guess we're kind of venturing into other dynamics of the Mayan calendar. Do you foresee, or have you read, or is there an understanding of the Mayan calendar that suggests that we're likely to experience more solar-related or any other type of Earth change in this window that we're in? Now, to give more of a foundation on that, I had Carlos Barrios on, and then I had Adam Rubel on, and through Adam Rubel passed a message on to me and my audience about a window between August 16th and December 15th. What do you foresee in this period that we're in now?
Well, during the period we're in now, it's just a ramp up toward the third night. We are just becoming more and more conscious. That is not you and I, not the people who, well, to the people who are listening, you're becoming more conscious. The general consciousness of humanity itself is gaining consciousness of the truth of the situation they're in.
Yes.
Which is not all that human friendly.
Right.
And...
Oh, by the way, everybody's back on now, Ian.
Oh, good.
For all those, we had a glitch, obviously, in the system, kicked everybody out, and it couldn't have been more perfect, folks. It was more than a metaphor. It was a actual experience of what the 50 million experienced with their power outage, and it just happened to come on the heels when Ian was talking about what the government would be experiencing by losing their power. And now they're all back in, and what we just got through finished saying, folks, just to catch you up very quickly, is I was just asking Ian about the window between August 16th and December 15th, and he says it's basically the precursor to the biggest stuff, which begins December 9th, which he calls the third day.
Third night.
The third night. Okay,
yeah.
Ian?
We're in the third day right now. Each one of these, by the way, is now 360 days long. Count your blessings, folks. The last circuit, all of these effects would last for 20 years. You know, we're going to go through this really quickly. But we have a trouble spot coming up here. We have a lot of imbalance in our planet, in our psyche, that either is being affected or is affecting the solar system, and this has to be shaken out. The time that it's done is during the nights.
So, Ian, let me ask you, is it your personal belief, or is your belief consistent with Mayan thought that it is us that affects the solar system, or in this case, the sun, as opposed to the sun affecting us, or could it be both?
I think it's both, and then it's whichever one the audience or the individual believes most to be true is true for him.
Okay.
Okay. If he thinks he has no effect at all, that's true for him.
Okay. Yeah.
Poor soul.
I understand.
So, but what we've got is not just my belief, not just what the Maya wrote down over there, 3,000 years of history. We've got 16 billion years now.
Yes.
Of a pattern. We've got all of the cycles stacked up, and in every one, the third day has been the exposure of the truth to that current consciousness, no matter what state it was in. It had to face the truth of its situation. And then right after that, the truth was applied hell-bent to leather.
Yes.
Now, this meant a lot of trouble, usually.
Yes.
And, for instance, during the third day of the last cycle, that was from 1814 to 1834, 1834 to 1854.
Yes.
There was a truth that came forward, a consciousness shift, and that was the abolitionist movement and the women's suffrage movement that spread the world right during that period of time.
Yes.
And then in the night, the third night, which was 1854 to 1873, that's when we had the U.S. Civil War.
Yes, it was.
And the truth, the rubber hit the road. We're going to go through the same thing this time. But that last time, it was a 20-year cycle.
Well, not only that, Ian, last time, of course, it was more individual. We were more isolated. Each tribe was going through their own thing. Now, could it be that this time it's more of a world thing, more of a world community?
Will certainly be worldwide. It already is.
Yes, of course. Of course.
It's just not as intense as it's going to be during the night. We're just seeing the precursors of all this.
Now, again, folks, that we're in the day. You'd have to understand the Mayan calendar thing. We're in the third day right now, and Ian is talking about the third night, which begins December 9th.
And runs through December 3rd, excuse me. It runs through December 3rd of 2004.
Okay, from December 9th, 2003 to December 3rd, 2004.
Yes.
And it is this time, Ian, that you believe that as much challenge as we're getting ready to go through now, it will be just a precursor to what's coming next year.
Absolutely.
Wow.
I mean, by all indications and the prophecies, but by all indications of this whole pattern of the last 16 billion years, and then the current prophecies by the Maya, plus what we're just seeing with weather, solar activity, political intrigues, I mean, we're just looking at a build-up here. I think everybody can feel that.
Oh,
not any big news, but I want to get really quickly. I want to go past that.
Okay, go ahead.
The fourth day.
All right.
Please, because this is we have a night coming, but then there's a day after that.
Yes.
And now the fourth day is about building new foundations for new consciousness. It also has happened in every one of these stages. That during the fourth day, the new consciousness, which has been instrumented, which has come forth, overpowers the old consciousness. It's during the fourth day that happens.
Yes.
So during the fourth day that we have coming up, some of the things that are going to occur are going to be, this is on the part of consciousness now, consciousness will become aware of free energy. Free energy already exists, but it's not available to consciousness. During the fourth day, that will become so.
Ian, the old saying that the teacher will appear when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. Given the idea that until we're ready to see, we basically are blinded to it. Maybe a more simple example, folks, would be if you've ever read a book several times, the same book more than once, usually several times, or even watched a movie more than once. You see so many things in it that you didn't see before. Is it something like that, Ian, where it's kind of an awakening to something?
It certainly is. Plus, it's a filtering system. We can't have unlimited power in the hands of these apps, these bushies, can we?
What?
We can't have ultimate power, ultimate free power.
Yes.
Unlimited power in the hands of these bushies, can we?
Oh, well, of course not.
No. These guys and their power-mongering trip has to evolve away, like the dinosaurs.
Yes.
And they are.
Well, the thing is, Ian, I got to tell you, I'm just so curious of what that's going to look like. You know, typically history tells us that revolutions can be very bloody, and really to make a huge shift, it really takes a type of revolution to occur. And those that are in power certainly do not like to relinquish their power, so they'll fight to the death. So I'm curious of what that's going to look like, and I'm wondering if Earth changes, such as earthquakes, volcanoes, natural phenomena, will actually help that process.
Well, they will. You see, there's going to be two things going on at the same time. Remember that 20 times more is happening now than happened the last time we went through this cycle. 20 times more is possible to occur. Before, things were pretty restricted as to how they could change or move or morph. Now, things are much more malleable. So the future is much more malleable. If there's many more possibilities. And what we're actually looking at is that there will be a split between the timelines of consciousness. It's already happened in all everybody's life, everybody that's listening, you've already experienced this. Everybody who went to kindergarten with a whole classroom full of people, you probably don't know where even one of those people are or if they're still on the planet. To you, they have just vaporized. They're gone. It took 20 years or so for that to happen, but now things are happening a lot faster. There's more happening in every moment than ever before.
Yes.
And the only reason that you don't know where any of those people are is because you were paying attention to something different than they were. You were paying attention to baseball, and they went into field hockey.
Yes.
You've got a girlfriend named Brenda, and somebody else got a girlfriend named Dana. And you split, and your lives went in two different directions. It's a very natural phenomenon, but it's based on one thing, where your attention was.
Yes.
That's still true now. For people who have their attention on dire circumstances and horrible events and, oh no, please don't let this happen to me, guess what? You're going to get squished. But the people who are looking for more opportunity, more abilities, more how we can use creation, we can cooperate with the changes, those people are going to flourish. That's been the pattern throughout all of creation. And we have a choice. Now that we can see this whole pattern, each of us has a personal choice as to whether to live in the fear or live in the love.
Wow. You know, I'll tell you what, Ian, there's got to be hundreds, if not thousands, of people listening out there right now, including myself, who has always felt just a little bit out of the circle. You know, there's a pros and cons to that. The cons is you don't quite mesh with too many people, you know, kind of a little bit on the outside. Sure, you'll play the social thing, but your thoughts, your vision, your intellect is just a little bit different. And so it's in some ways kind of lonely, I guess, or you kind of do play the pretend thing in a community. And but that's the con part. The pro part is that I think those of us that have felt that way are naturals at thinking outside the box. It's a kind of a cute saying that we have now, but I think there's many of us who've been thinking outside the box since we were born.
That's right.
And maybe now is the time, as we're going through this shift, where all of a sudden the mainstream is really no longer main, and perhaps our thought could be becoming more common, perhaps.
Well, I think that most of the people out there who have noticed that what they intend, what they just sit down and intend or meditate on,
yes,
shows up.
Yes.
It just somehow, I mean, regardless of any logic, it just shows up in your life. Congratulations. Guess what? That's going to become more and more and more possible for you and for everyone as we go forward. As more and more becomes possible, it means it is much more possible for your intent to be manifest. And so it is. Now, those people who actually are using this ability are going to be drawing people to them.
Yes.
Because they'll be surviving well.
Yes.
And those people who are resisting, and there are many who will resist on principle, the changes.
Well, Ian, I wonder if I'm one of them, at least at times. Now, off air, I was talking to you about my emotions here lately in the last few days, and that I've been having some mood swings, feeling uneasy. I think the way I described it was free-floating anxiety.
Mitch?
Yes?
I want to stop you right there.
All right.
I want to say, have you allowed those emotions? Have you freely experienced those emotions? Or have you resisted those emotions with Prozac, Zoloft, a little snort of heroin? I mean, are you experiencing those or are you resisting them?
I am experiencing them and I'm resisting them. Now how I resist them is I go to the gym and I do some extra exercise and I do a pretty good workout, then I go in the steam room and the sauna, and there's other little tricks that I do that does reduce tension, but yes, Ian, I'll confess, I do realize that some of it is avoidance. So I would say, yes, I'm experiencing them more than I used to, but yes, they're still very uncomfortable.
But you are bleeding them off. You are actually using that energy to produce something beneficial in your body.
Yes.
Rather than taking some drug to cover it up.
Yes.
Okay, that's my point.
Yes.
You are doing the right thing. We are here for one reason, to feel. Spirit, you know, the spiritual world is wonderful. Oh, we hope to get there someday, don't we? Oh, sit on a puppy cloud. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, you know, these guys have everything, but they don't have one thing. They don't have the ability to lose anything. And they don't have any lack of anything. It's only us here, physical, that have those strictures. And you know what?
What?
They love us for it.
Wow. Folks, you know, there have been times when I go through some very challenging times. I'm no different than you. And it just so happens that Ian, luckily enough for me, is one of those mentors that kind of carries me through these times. Because if you're like me, when I go through these cycles, I don't have clarity. It's a time of confusion, a time of doubt, a time of resistance. You know, it's like I said, a free-floating anxiety, and on occasion so bad I want to crawl out of my skin. And I can't really attach it to any particular thing. What is all this about? I'm not sure. I did pass along the possibility to Ian. I was wondering if this wasn't part of the geomagnetic storms affecting us as it affects the power grids and the Earth. Ian?
Well, as a matter of fact, your mind is an electromagnetic field. A lot of people think that their mind is the brain. That's not true. They've never carved a thought out of anybody's brain. Stop the ability for people to communicate, but they haven't found the intuition, they haven't found the thought
in
the brain. They can only trace electrical impulses through the brain, but you can do that through a computer too.
Yeah.
You know, the mind is an electromagnetic field.
That's right.
And boy, is it affected.
Yes, yes.
I had a stranger pull into my driveway tonight. Now, I'm a very highly enlightened being, right?
Yes.
I've got all these wise things. This stranger drove into my driveway, and I just happened to be standing out in the front yard, and he looked kind of, like, mean.
Yes.
Or inquisitive, either one.
Yes.
And immediately, I had a deep flash of anger. Started walking toward the car like I was going to beat the out of this person.
Yes.
Whatever it was they were doing there.
Yes.
I did ask them, politely, why they were there, and they told me they were looking for someone else, and I directed them to where it was.
Yes.
But I fully experienced that willingness to go beat this person for just showing up in my front yard.
Isn't it? It's totally wild. It's irrational. It makes no sense. It's almost primal.
Yes.
And thank goodness you have to have some skills to maneuver it. Sometimes I question if I do. I'm like you. I have several tools that I use to practice folks. And by the way, we're going to need these tools more often than ever. And I'm talking about prayer. I'm talking about meditation. I'm talking about exercise. I'm talking about diet. Any little bag of tricks that you have, healthy that is, that helps you stay focused and grounded, you're going to need it. I know I do. Ian?
Yes, you are. I mean, I'm going through the same thing that everyone else out there is. This understanding buffers me greatly from the difficulties.
Just having the awareness that we're in this cycle helps diminish it almost immediately, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
That's basically my message.
Yeah.
That the whole use of this information is having a grasp that we're going through a process at which allows you far more predictability of yourself and of events around you, even with these effects happening, because we are certainly under barrage from the sun and now heavily influenced from Mars.
Yes, oh my gosh. And what is this? Isn't Mercury going retrograde in a few days or something? All kinds of planetary stuff happening, huh?
Yeah. We all are living in this soup of symbols. A complete soup. Everything means something, doesn't it?
Yes. Yes, folks, I hope you share this with some people. Those of you that are listening tonight, when you're at work and you see somebody acting weird, either aggressively or in depression, maybe the other way, where they're hiding, or in your family, or, you know, wherever you happen to be, carry this understanding to them. You might even try to approach them, not necessarily to explain what's going on, although at times I do. Matter of fact, I will be witnessing something like this, don't know the people, and I'll walk over to them and say, don't worry about it, it's just a geomagnetic storm, it'll pass.
Exactly. Give them the truth and walk away.
Uh-huh.
That way they can deal with it however they like. But we've got big, big challenges coming up.
Oh, my gosh.
Huge, huge physical and emotional challenges coming up. And don't expect everybody you know to make it through these.
Oh, that's a whole other thing that we hadn't really touched on in a while, Ian. And that's true, folks. I got to remember that. Who am I to say what another person's journey is? How do we know that even a family member's journey is to not go to the next phase? Ian, what do you think? I mean, sometimes we need to remember that all our journeys are not the same.
Yeah, and it's like, yes. Not everybody is the same, but everybody is deciding for themselves.
Yes.
It's not something that's happening to anyone. I mean, we moan and weep and cry for all these poor people who are suffering here and there. And we wonder, how can this possibly have happened? Well, if you believe in karma, that's how it happened. If you don't believe in karma, and you just believe in dumb luck, then some people are really stupid.
I'm kind of in the middle, and I believe in kind of the past life thing, and I also kind of believe in this idea of going over, before we enter this dimension, that we actually have a sense of why we're here. You know, it's like before we go into school, we're kind of rehearsing or going over the classes we're going to take. Now, consciously, we may not remember that, but I think is perhaps part of the journey.
Well, and it's all accelerated now. You see, before, people had a lot of time to consider and, you know, just kind of contemplate their navel.
Yes.
We don't got that time anymore. Uh-huh. It's just happening quicker and quicker and quicker. Now, don't expect any of this to de-intensify or slow down. It won't.
Yeah.
It's going to only get faster and more dramatic. Now, once we drop the baggage, that is the power trip, and get on to ethical considerations as the basis of our consciousness.
Ian, can we now? Just a flash came to me because you hadn't mentioned this word before, but I'm curious if you mean it to be. And this thing that you're calling power and letting go of baggage, is part of that the simple word of ego?
Whew. Well, ego has so many different definitions for people. I have my own definition for ego, which...
I agree with you. I believe there is such a thing as a healthy ego. Maybe I should say the unhealthy ego that keeps us limited, where the fear comes from.
Let's just call it stupidity.
Okay.
Stupidity is the number one sin. You know, if we're spirits, then we're all knowing. So who are we to lie to ourselves about everything except what we are conscious of right now? That's a big sin.
So such new paradigms. Now, Ian, we're getting close to run out of time here. I just want to remind you, in particular, Ian, and of course the audience, some of the challenges that I have coming forward, especially with my book Solar Rain, is I'm going head to head, folks, with the mainstream, and I'm doing it through the way of peer reviews. And let me tell you, these guys are saber-toothed tigers. They just rip you up. But I feel empowered to bring this challenge on at this time. Of course, I have to do my homework and make it credible. But part of the chaos, just as externally, will be the earth changes, such as volcanoes, earthquakes, and so forth. I'm having some internal earth changes, and that is through shifting the paradigm. Ian, your experience with such?
As a matter of fact, what's coming more and more clear to me all the time is that each and every single individual is creating every speck of their experience. It is nowhere else. It is from you. And the more you embrace that, the more directly you can benefit yourself and the people around you with your creations. The less you acknowledge it, then the more out of control you are, the more victimized you are, and the more dangerous it is for you in this world. That's what's going to make the dividing line between those who survive and don't. It's not your circumstances, it's your creation.
Yes.
You can be falling off a building and create a pussy landing.
Yes.
You know, it's up to you. And if you don't believe that you're able to do that, then you're not.
Ian, I want to extend this just a few more minutes. Do you have a few more minutes?
Yeah.
Okay, I want to explore the fire ceremony, going back to the Mayans. I mentioned it earlier. And Carlos Barrios and the other Mayan elders have spoke about the fire ceremony. I know you have been there, and you have a better understanding of what their fire ceremony is. Can you help explain that to our audience of the fire ceremony and what its purpose is?
Well, first of all, it's a ritual. The fire ceremony is a ritual. All rituals are to focus intention of a group.
Yes.
That's the whole purpose.
Yes. Of course.
To gather and focus the intent. So that then the fire ceremony does a wonderful, beautiful job of that. So does a Catholic Mass.
Yes.
Well, not as effective as it used to be, but...
I understand. No, I got you. I got you.
So the fire ceremony, what they do with the fire ceremony is they build a concentric circles of different flammable materials, sugar and herbs and kapal, and laid over with candles. And
yes.
Each candle is laid with a blessing, and they're laid in the 360-degree circle. And what is invoked are the four directions and all 20 of the sacred day lords and the particular day lord of that day and the direction of that day is honored, and then the fire is lit. And as the materials are consumed, the prayers of the Maya shaman or the people are carried into heaven toward the gods. And that, basically that's the ceremony. How effective it is depends on how much intent is gathered from the people who are there.
Yeah, I understand. I understand. Now, if I remember right from the groundbreaking interview that I did with Adam Rubel, that the invitation was to many of us, all of us, to participate in the ongoing fire ceremony. And I suppose the purpose of that was to bring our consciousness in connection with theirs. And the whole purpose of that is to to reduce or minimize the huge changes that are coming up. Is that accurate?
Well,
to make it to try and make it a bit more smooth of a transition.
From their point of view, I'm not sure, but I would imagine that's what they're going for. But really what it comes down to is the more people who are in tune with the shifts and changes,
yes,
the more people riding their intuition,
yes,
then the less resistance to the change. The less resistance, the smoother the ride.
Yes, of course.
It's a numbers game.
Yes.
And frankly, we're way, way outnumbered, friends.
Yes, I know. I believe me, and I speak about that all the time, and I'm always getting hammered from so many people, those that like to do the prayer groups, and let's all meet at this day and do the prayers. And I do believe in that, folks. Don't get me wrong. I believe in the unified theory. I really do. I'm just saying, along with Ian, I happen to believe that the numbers simply aren't large enough to reach what I call a critical mass that would really make that difference. I think we're getting there. I think it's going to take the earth changes to help us get there.
Now, I'm going to add in something here.
All right.
Remember, each person is creating their own reality.
Yes.
You have split away already. Your consciousness has split away from hundreds of folks that are no longer in your life.
Yes.
You have a different, whole different lifetime than they do. Whole different experiences. That is going to happen much more rapidly in the future. While some people who are used to be working next to you at the company are now fired and sent to some godforsaken South Dakota,
yeah.
South Dakota, but, you know, sent away.
Yes.
That person might experience a very blissful life living in a valley with a river running through it.
Yes.
While you and your friends who hold on to their jobs are being corralled up by the government, into pens, beaten nightly, tortured because you're not following the party line.
Yes.
I mean, there's going to be different experiences for different people. People, you create your own experience. If you focus on things associated with the power game, you're going to be drawn into that, and into that fear and control and anger, and you'll experience that stuff.
Yes.
On the other hand, if you just give yourself, not give up, but just go into cooperation with creation.
Yes.
And don't endeavor for all of the goodies that are held out to you. If you just hold your own space and peace and move as you're told to without regard to what you're going to lose,
yes,
in your stuff, you're going to be fine. Absolutely fine.
Oh, boy. Well, Ian, I think what we'll have to do is a part two.
Okay.
You know, folks, it's really fascinating to do these interviews because, especially with Ian Lundgold. Oh, by the way, I can't go away without doing a little bit of advertising for you because you're so humble. Mayan Matrix is his website. Mayan Matrix.
I'm going to step to Magics.
Oh, I'm sorry. Spell it out for us, Ian. Go ahead and spell
Mayan,
it.
It's M-A-Y-A-N, Magix. It's spelled M-A-J-I-X.
There you go.
Magix.
Yeah, M-A-J-I-X. That's Mayan, MAJIX.com.
And there are articles there to read, and there are videos of our presentations. There are hour and 15-minute videos. There are 2.5-hour videos, and there's a 3-hour video coming fairly soon. There's also the Mayan jewelry. You might want to go and look at the ancient symbols made into jewelry.
Hey, Ian, have you ever considered taking a group kind of as a tour guide to Maya country?
I did years ago, but frankly, there's much more important work to do here.
Okay. Okay.
Then that would be like a vacation.
All right. Yeah, of course.
I'm not in line for that. Not at this time.
All right. Gotcha.
And I am going to be in the Pacific Northwest doing a speaking tour, and I'm looking for some fill-in dates in Seattle, possibly as far south as Portland, during the middle of September. That is the 15th through the 19th or so.
Okay, folks, those of you in that area, give Ian, send him an email. Ian, is your email address on the site, or would you like to give it now?
I'll give it now. It's Ian at MayanMagics.com.
And Ian is spelled I-A-N.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and I will, I'm looking for venues, but if it's in a park, I'll do it.
Okay.
We need to gather people, and we need to get this information out to people as quickly as possible.
No, there's no doubt about that. Ian, I want to thank you once again for coming on. Like I said, we'll do a part two because we have the science of the Mayan calendar and the Mayan culture, and then I love the esoterical part and, of course, the emotional part of what you and I, folks, are going to go through emotionally. The time of angst, the time of anxiety, the time of anger. It could be quite a roller coaster ride, and it's all part of it, and we can create our own realities, as Ian says. Ian, I want to thank you, and good night for now. We'll have you on probably just after you get back from in September.
Thank you, and thank you very much, and good night, everyone.
Good night to you. Bye-bye. Folks, for those of you that tuned in late, this interview will be presented on our homepage, Earth Changes TV front page, and sending it over to Ian, and he will have it on his front page as well, MayanMagics.com. We have a link on our front page to go visit him. Got some very interesting guests coming up. Thursday is Dr. Louis Turi. He does something called divine astrology, and I must tell you folks, astrology is kind of one of my weak suits, so it's always good to have someone who knows what they're talking about, and evidently, from what I'm hearing, this is quite a time to discuss this astrology thing, as we have all these planets out there bouncing around and affecting us all, perhaps. Then next Tuesday the 26th, I'm going to have Dr. Burl Payne on, and he is, he's from the old school. He's back from the late 60s, 70s. He was one of the first to write about magnetics and magnetic therapy. One of his bestsellers is the book, The Body Magnetic. So, of course, you know what I'm going to be asking him about, and that'll be Tuesday the 26th. This is Mitch Batras for Earth Changes TV, wishing you all very well and staying grounded and focused. See you next this coming Thursday. Tune in.